Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is the third eye. And before we get started with exploring this topic, I just want to say that we have a gift for you, and we'll tell you more about that gift and how you can order it a little later on in the show. Also, the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show is from the works of Alice Bailey, who wrote 24 volumes of literature. She's also the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. And also the following thought is from the works of Alice Bailey. The third eye reveals the light to be found in the heart of every form of divine manifestation. Why does that statement refer to just a single eye instead of the two eyes we all have?
There's a real spiritual significance behind what's called the third eye. That term might be familiar to a lot of our listeners. Certainly there are a couple of images from mythology that people will recognize that are associated with the third eye. One is that weird creature from Greek mythology, the Cyclops, who was sort of, I think, a monster.
Oh, yeah.
not a good thing. Bad thing. The other is the unicorn, the animal from mythology with the single horn that juts out mm-hmm. from its forehead. That's also a symbol of the third eye. We all obviously have two eyes, but there is a third eye that exists in the etheric or energy body. And we've talked about that etheric or energy body that we all have on past programs. It can't be seen by the normal eyes, but it's what we could call a vehicle or a body that surrounds our outer physical body, and which is the energy conductor, both into the physical, astral, and mental bodies, and from the physical, emotional, and mental bodies. We distribute energy through it, and we receive energy through the etheric body. The third eye exists in that energy body. The Ageless Wisdom says that the two physical eyes have a function, one, the left eye being the eye of the concrete mind, the normal rationalizing mind, and the right eye being the eye of pure reason or intuition, of spiritual understanding, and then uniting but transcending them both is what's called the third eye.
And that third eye is related, in a way, to the physical gland called the pineal gland.
Is that how you pronounce that, pineal?
Well, that's the way I pronounce it.
Well, then it must be right. I've heard it said so.
But it isn't the pineal gland. It is related to it. So it's kind of the physical counterpart of that etheric eye, or that etheric center, or etheric capacity that we have. It's a very ancient capacity that was more prominent and more awake way, way, way back before man was even man, I think. And as the two physical eyes have developed over the eons, this inner subjective eye or capacity to see is kind of receded to the background, and it's been taken its place by the physical eyes, which enable the person to see through the physical world.
And to use the mind, mm-hmm. probably, right? To use
right.
the rationalizing,
yes.
so-called concrete mind and reason.
And now we're at that point where we've evolved to this point where the mind is more active, it is awakened, and it is now very more receptive to the energies of the soul, so this inner spiritual eye is beginning to awaken again. And that's what it brings through the energies of the soul. It enables the soul energies to come pouring in to the lower mind.
I like the realization that's expressed in that opening thought, that the third eye reveals the light to be found in the heart of every form of divine manifestation, because that orients the attention to the physical world for which we develop the two eyes you've just talked about. We are meant to be at home in the world and to not try to escape it, to be here, to be present, and to serve the natural world and all the kingdoms that share the planet with us. And yet at the same time, this third eye gives us the capacity to recognize the light that exists in the heart of every form of divine manifestation. To me, that suggests that our goal should not be to escape from the world if we're on a spiritual path, but instead to bring light into the world.
The third eye enables us to see into the inner world, the inner spiritual world of the soul. Just as the physical eyes enable us to see the physical world and the environment and all around us, the phenomenal world, the developing spiritual third eye will enable us to see the realm of the soul. And that's why it's called the eye of the soul.
When you think about it, everything that exists has some soul consciousness, according to the ageless wisdom. Even the atom and the molecule are an expression of the anima mundi, or the world soul. And to be able to recognize and awaken the light of the soul within all forms is a tremendous service. It's what, for example, scientists do through their work. They're working in the natural realm to awaken the light of the form, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they work down at the level of the atom and then the sub-particles of the atom, and that is reaching down into the realm of light.
And in fact, they're making great progress in the study of atomic life and life on the cellular level. Not only are they studying the cosmos, but they're studying the reverse of it, or the opposite of it, the cell, and making great strides in their understanding.
The third eye is the eye of direction. It directs and enables the soul to begin to direct the person, the lower personality nature. And that's when there is an alignment established between the personality, the outer personal life, with the soul. Then this alignment enables the energies of the soul to pour through the eye into the lower personality and begin to direct its progress in the world and give it qualities that qualities and energies that then can be directed into human consciousness and human activities.
The yogi, the spiritually realized individual, is one who has trained himself, or who has reached a point where he can direct that light that you're speaking of in any direction, and he can use it to illumine any subject. The teachings say that all knowledge is at the disposal of the yogi through this third eye. Well, that might be the goal to which we can aspire, but all of us, I think, can begin to use the light that's within us and trust in our capacity to direct it upon any circumstance or situation that we are within, or any problem that we're facing. I've always thought, you know, that old bromide that God never gives anyone to a burden that is beyond his capacity to bear. Well, there's truth in that, and I wonder if it relates to this thought about having the light within one to turn upon whatever circumstance or problem one is facing. whatever we're dealing with, we have the resources to resolve that situation, to redeem it and to overcome it, if we would use the light within us.
That's right. And there is, you mentioned earlier about the yogi. And maybe we should mention here, too, about the one of the dangers of opening this eye, or the tendency to want to open the eye prematurely.
Don't do that.
Don't do that, because it's like you can't prematurely open the bud of a flower.
Mm.
That has to unfold from within in its own time. And we just have to allow this process to take place. Well, it's the same in a human being. You can't force open one of these centers, like the Ajna center, that center at the forehead.
Well, you can force it open, but you shouldn't.
Yeah. Right. Mm. If you do, you risk opening yourself up to a lot of powerful energies pouring in before your physical body can handle it, or the brain cells can be overtaxed, and that can lead to all kinds of trouble.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is the third eye. We have a gift for you. I mentioned that earlier. The gift is a paper that we're putting together for you. And it's the title of the paper is The Third Eye. So all you really have to do is give us a call on our toll-free number and ask us to send that paper out to you. Once again, it's called The Third Eye. Give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. And an easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. That's 1-866. Think of New York, LUCIS. Our website, if you'd like to key into these shows, we have a whole library of shows archived on our website, www.lucistrust. That's one word, lucistrust.org. And by the way, we need your help. A lot of people have expressed interest in these shows, and we've gotten a lot of accolades from you, and we enjoy doing them for you, but the shows cost money. This is a wonderful station, and we are very honored to be on it, but it does cost quite a bit of money, and we need your help. So, in fact, not only for the show, but all the work that we do so much work, and we're involved in so many areas, so that all the work of the LUCIS Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the LUCIS Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals, so please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. You can send your donations, by the way, to LUCIS Trust, that's L-U-C-I-S, LUCIS Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, LUCIS Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And once again, if you want that paper, the title of which is The Third Eye, just give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. Easy way to remember, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK. LUCIS, LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. Back to our discussion on The Third Eye. Another thought that we like is that relates to The Third Eye is one from Christ, who says, "If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Can you maybe enlarge upon that statement? It's a little cryptic.
It's deeply mysterious and spiritual, but the Christ did say it. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. He was referring to this third eye that is dormant, but awaiting awakening within the human being, that as it awakens, one is filled with light. One's life becomes radiant, as he implies, thy whole body shall be full of light. And one becomes one more source of light in the world. It isn't just something that one seeks for oneself, so you won't exist in darkness anymore. That would be a rather selfish goal. But the awakening of this inner sight to use the name of our program, is so that you can be an outpost of light in the world. In one way, I suppose it's rather mystical to say this, but in a sense, God looks into the world of manifestation through the eyes and the ears of human beings. And the light that can pour through the human being can help to irradiate the world. So it's a means of cooperation with the plan.
And that light is, God uses the soul as the agent of that light in between God and man. And that's why it is referred to as the eye of the soul, because that's how God sees into his creation, really, is by way of that light.
And the reverse of that brings to mind that controversial statement in Christianity, no one cometh unto the Father except by me, which Christ said. He was referring to the Christ principle, the soul, which you've just said, is the mediator between the human being and deity or God. No one cometh unto the Father, deity, except through the soul consciousness, the Christ principle, or whatever term you want to use for it. If you're not a Christian, Buddhists call it the Buddhic principle or Buddhi. The Hebrew teaching has another word for it. I could take a stab at it, but I might be wrong, so I won't try to give the name for it. But it's an awareness that exists in many of the major world's religions that the soul, by whatever name they call it, is the passageway to God, and the reverse, as you say, the means by which God's will and light and love are radiated into the world.
And there's an interesting analogy here. We carry around this, what we call the all-seeing eye.
Uh-huh.
And it's the all-seeing eye of God. And probably everybody out there has one in their pocket right now, and I'm referring to the $1 bill. If you look on the back of the $1 bill, you will see a Masonic symbol of a pyramid, and at the top of this pyramid there is a triangle with an eye in the center of it, and it is radiating light.
Mm.
And this refers to the all-seeing eye of God, that all-seeing eye that looks down into its creation by way of its the one single eye.
What an interesting thought that the third eye reveals the light to be found in the heart of every form of divine manifestation. Well, money is the densest form of divine manifestation, and most of us probably don't think of money as being mm-hmm. an expression of divine intention, but there we are. Deeply sacred imagery on the back of our dollar bill.
That's right, and that's why the Masonic teachings have this sacred ancient history behind it.
The statement that you mentioned, Robert, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light, I think was echoed in a way by the Buddha, his last sermon in which he commanded his disciples to be a lamp unto your own feet. We all have that lamp, that eye, that single eye, that penetrating beam of inner light that we can direct upon our way. And I think this is symbolized in the unicorn with that horn jutting out from its forehead. If you think about the images that traditionally depict the unicorn, he's rising up on his hind legs and ready to charge forward. Well, it's not an act of brazen aggression, but of spiritual confidence and boldness and daring. And I think that's what one has to be on the path, confident enough to make one's way through whatever difficulties or darkness or momentary blindness one might exist in. The way isn't illumined for us. We have to find our way and create, in a sense, our own source of light through our God-given capacity to direct the light of the soul upon our way.
And speaking of directing the light of the soul, each of our eyes, our left eye and our right eye, both are involved in directing energies. And I think we've all had the experience of looking into the eyes of someone across from us and being given the eye, or feeling the energy that's been focused.
Teachers are good at that.
And
mothers.
Right. And it's
eyes in the back of the head.
Using the eye and directing the energy that this person wants to convey. And we do the same thing with animals, too.
Well, have you ever seen a sheepdog herding sheep? They use the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they control the sheep through the eye. Mm-hmm. The dog looks at the sheep, and a message is transmitted that's undeniable. Mm-hmm. The sheep get right in line. Mm-hmm. So there is great power there. Perhaps to close the program, we should try to give a few suggestions to people about how the third eye opens. As you say, it's not something that should be forced open, but I think we can understand the process. It opens, we're told, as a result of conscious development, which to me suggests study of spiritual doctrine, some familiarity with spiritual teaching and techniques. You can't just stumble along blindly without making some effort. And through right alignment, which would be to bring the equipment of the personal self, physical, emotional, and mental, into a proper functioning alignment so that the emotional body isn't totally dominating, or the physical body completely engrossing one's attention. And thirdly, through the inflow of soul life, which comes through meditation and service.
Yes, I was just going to say that meditation, a good background in practice in meditation, using the mind as a channel for this energy and alignment with the soul, is a good way to open this this great center, this inner center, in a way to develop this capacity to see into the world of light, into the realm of the soul.
I think a good technique that everybody could start with is, when they have a problem or a situation that they're not sure how to cope with, visualize a line of light from one's forehead, not focusing on the physical, just touch on it momentarily, a line of light from yourself to the problem and its right resolution. Try working with that technique and trusting that this beam of light will bring about a right resolution, and see if it doesn't begin to show you the way.
We are evolving to this point, as I think we've mentioned earlier, that humanity is now at that point where this great awakening is just about to take place, and it's a major point of major point of revelation that's in store, and that's why the development of this third eye right now is so important.
Where's the location for the third eye? I know it's esoteric, but would there be a location on the head for the third eye?
Well, it's in the energy body, apart from slightly outside the forehead.
Okay, that's interesting. And once again, if you want that gift that we talked about earlier, we do have a gift for you. It's a paper, the title of which is The Third Eye. With it helps you to explore this topic in greater depth. It comes from the works of Alice Bailey. So give us a call if you want the paper, the gift, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York LUCIS, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, Let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.